Gladly. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Gladly. For a. Abbreviation for everything. Gladly. For everything. We adore thee. This psalm is, you can see, entitled a psalm of praise. David's psalm of praise. The reason we come here, every time we come here, is to praise and worship our God. That's why we come. And if you desire to worship God and praise Him, and we have every reason to, then listen carefully and enter into this psalm. Those who love God will love this psalm. Those who love to praise Him and worship Him will love this psalm. Verse 1, he says, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will elevate, lift thee up, praise thee, exalt thee. Do you ever get tired of hearing our God exalted? Can we exalt Him too high? Can He be preached too sovereign, too holy, too glorious? That's peculiar to His peculiar people. I will bless thy name. Forever and ever. My King, my God. Is He your God? Is this God your God? That's what Pharaoh said about Moses. He said, Moses' God is God. Joseph's God is God. Is this God your God? Huh? I won't have any other, David says. This God is my God. He's my King. David was himself a king, wasn't he? But he said, God is my King, the King of kings. I will bless thee, thy name, forever and ever. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee. Every day, regardless of what comes about, God is worthy to be praised, isn't it? This is a good way to forget your troubles. You know that? We all have them. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Most days have some sort of trouble. All days have sin trouble. This is a good way to forget your troubles. Just start thinking about how our God is worthy to be blessed and praised and thanked. Every day, I will praise thy name forever and ever. If you're one of His, and He teaches you Moses' psalm, you'll be singing it forever. The saints in glory right now are singing Moses' psalm. Verse 3, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Our great God deserves great praise. Great preaching. Great songs. That's why we won't settle for just anything. Huh? I'm not going to settle for anything that's less than great praise. Giving great glory to our great God. He deserves it. God is great in His holiness. God is great in His justice. God is great in His love. God is great in His mercy. God is great in His grace. God is great in His salvation. God is great and greatly to be praised. But David says His greatness is unsearchable. We haven't commenced to begin to get started, as the old saying goes. We haven't waded ankle deep in searching out the greatness of our God. It's going to take a lifetime to just acquire a little knowledge of His greatness. Unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. One generation, he says, verse 4, will praise thy works to another. We've received this message down through the years from fathers in the faith, haven't we? Patriarchs, they're called. Abraham was the first one, and God revealed Himself to Abraham and went on and passed it down, he to his posterity, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so on and so forth, right? Levi, Moses, the prophets, the apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so on and so forth. Every generation, it's been passed down. God has not left Himself without a witness. And everyone praises, verse 4, His works. This whole psalm is about Him. Not about anyone, but Him. All about who He is, what He has done. David doesn't ask for anything. David doesn't say anything negative about anybody, except next to last verse about the wicked. But the rest, this whole psalm is a psalm of praise. Can you spend a whole psalm just praising God? Well, there's 150 of them that declare it. And one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. The things that God hath done are mighty, powerful, great. I will speak, he says, verse 5, of the glorious honor of thy majesty. Thy majesty. You remember the story of the Queen of Sheba, don't you? Has anybody not heard that? You remember that story? The Queen of Sheba went to see Solomon, and she thought she was somebody, you know, a queen. She thought she had some things. She thought she knew some things. She thought she could do some things until she saw Solomon. Saw his kingdom, saw his power, saw his honor, his majesty. And the straw that broke the camel's back was when she saw him, Scripture says, his ascent where he went up into the house of the Lord. And what a type Solomon is of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it says, when she saw him ascend up into the house of the Lord, and no more spirit left in her. She was just a nobody and a nothing. Now that man's a great man. Majesty. Well, a greater than Solomon was here and is there. The glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous work. The Lord Jesus Christ is so glorious and so honorable and so majestic, no one on this planet, before or since, is deserving of any real honor. You know that? And once you've seen Him, once a person has really seen something of the glorious majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not be impressed with one single son of Adam. You'll not be impressed with anyone or anything once you've seen His glorious majesty. I have to laugh when they call that old woman over in England Her Majesty. Oh my. She's no more majestic than you and I am, or however you say it. But I tell you, there's one who is glorious in His majesty, even while a man upon this earth. Glorious in His majesty. Majestic in His life, majestic in His death, majestic in His ascension, majestic in His reign right now. Glorious majesty. My, my. And His wondrous works, it said. Wondrous works. His creation is glorious, wonderful, isn't it? God's creation is full of wonder in it. Wonder. Providence, God's providence is wonderful, isn't it? How the Lord provides for us. It's amazing. It's just full of wonder. Glorious majesty and wonderful, wondrous works. And verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. The might, power of God's terrible acts should cause people to sit up and take notice and start thinking about God, shouldn't it? His terrible acts. That means, you know, this fellow Osama bin Laden has taken up everybody's attention, hadn't he, for a long time, hadn't he? And many other terrible men before him. Well, those fellows are puppets in the hands of our great God. And every day God sends the heavens. The wrath of God is clearly revealed from heaven. It ought to strike terror in men's hearts. It ought to speak of God. He's the one doing all these things, shouldn't it? These terrible acts. Some do. But it says, look at this, that I will declare thy greatness. Oh my, what is terrible to the world, the saints call great. Now, death and destruction is terrible. It's tragic and all that, but it's a mighty display of God's great power. And like they call it Katrina, I call it God. Don't you? This is what David is saying. I will declare thy greatness. thy greatness, your terrible acts are great, proof of who you are. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. Every generation, he said, of saints passes on the memory. The memory. We're so easily, we easily forget, don't we? We need to be remembered. And that's what Peter wrote in his epistle, doesn't he? I think that while after my passing, he said, I'm going to see to it that you remember. He wrote a book. God wrote it down. Of God's great goodness, the memory, verse 7, of His great goodness. His great goodness. And shall sing of thy righteousness. His great goodness. How good has God been to you? Nancy, how good has God been to you? Great goodness. Great goodness. It's inexpressible. That's what he says, unsearchable. If you and I stopped and traced our lives, went back and started really looking at, closely examining our lives, everything that happened in our lives to bring us to where we are now. Oh my, God is great in goodness toward us. And we, God's people, sing of thy righteousness. David wrote there in Psalm 71, I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. Ours are filthy rags, not his. Not his. Jehovah Tsidkenu is our song, isn't it? The Lord, our righteousness. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious. Is this your favorite verse in the Bible tonight? Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Now, I have to read to you what Brother Charles Spurgeon wrote on this, because I wrote some things down, and then I went and read what he wrote, and then I just scribbled out what I wrote. Just blotted it out. Because this could not be improved upon. Listen carefully, okay? He's an eloquent man, but God is great, and he deserves words like this. The Lord is gracious, he said. Was it not in such terms that the Lord revealed himself to Moses? Remember the Lord, Moses said, show me your glory. He said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. I'll declare my name, mercy, and so forth. To all living men, this is his aspect. He is gracious and full of goodness and generosity. To all. Yes, he is. Listen to this. He treats his creatures with kindness, his subjects with consideration, and his saints with favor. Listen up. His words and his ways, his promises and his gifts, his purposes all manifest his grace and his free favor. There's nothing suspicious about him. There's nothing prejudiced. There's nothing tyrannical. Or he's nothing unapproachable in Jehovah. He is condescending and kind and full of compassion to the suffering, the weak, the foolish, the despondent. He's very pitiful. Full of pity. That's what that meant. He feels for them. He feels with them. He feels, he does this heartily and practically. In God is fullness in a sense not known among men. I continue. If he's full of compassion, what an ocean of compassion there must be, since it's in the infinite God. I read on. He's slow to anger. Love suffereth long and is kind, and God is love. I read on. And he's of great mercy, the scripture said. This is his attitude toward the guilty. When men repent, they find pardon waiting. Great is their sin and great is His mercy. They need great help and they have it through the great God. He's greatly good to the greatly guilty. Amen. God is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, verse 9. He's good to all. Though they don't see it, He is. And His tender mercies are over all His works. Tender mercy. All Thy works, verse 10, shall praise Thee, O Lord. All Thy works. Heaven. God created the heavens and the earth, and heaven praises Him. Everything in heaven praises Him. The angels. Let the angels. Hebrews 1 says, let the angels praise Him. The seraphs praise Him. The saints in heaven right now praise Him. We're having a hard time. They're not. They're doing it purely, perfectly, from the heart, forever, and they never stop doing it. My, my. And the earth, all His works, praise Him. Verse 10. All His works, praise Him. The earth, the birds sing to Him. Oh, I was out in the yard yesterday, and there was a bird. I don't know what kind it was. Maybe it had been a mockingbird. There's so many birds, aren't there? There's so many different songs. And they're all beautiful. But this one was, he caught my attention. He was singing, and I heard him. And I had to stop and wonder and listen to him. The birds sing sweetly in the trees, the song said. What are they singing? God is great. God is good. The trees clap their hands. Yes, they do. And the saints who know more about Him, or should, yes, they do, they bless Him. It said, Thy saints bless Him. Blessing means attribute all things to Him, attribute all that they can say and do to Him. Blessing means wish Him well. Wish Him well. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That's wishing Him well. That's blessing Him. On earth as it is in heaven. The saints bless Him. In verse 11, they speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power. They, only the saints, speak of God's glory, His power. How much glory? How much power? How much glory and power do the saints give to God? All of it. All of it. Who else do they give it to? Nobody. All glory and power belong unto Him. This is what makes a saint a saint. You know that? Saint means separated. This is what separates the true God lover and the saint from the worldly. Saints are separated. Our God said in Isaiah 43, I've chosen you that you might know and understand Me and be a witness to Me. My greatness, My power, My glory, My honor, My kingdom, My majesty, My works. Me. That's why He created us, to show forth His glory. And the saints do just that. Chosen to show forth His glory. Verses 12 and 13. And they make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The saints make known to whoever will hear them His mighty acts, the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Once again, this is what makes the saints to differ from the world. This is what makes the Israelites differ from the Egyptians. We give all honor and glory to our God. And we witness of His acts and the majesty of His kingdom. You notice, I went through and just underlined everywhere it said majesty and kingdom. It says that over and over and over and over throughout it all. And one of the last things, the epitaph that they put over the head of our Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified was what? The King. The King. Majesty. Kingdom. This is what the saints talk about. This is what the saints glory in. This is God's glory. His sovereign reign. His kingship. His rule. His sovereignty. His dominion. What makes the world mad makes saints glad. The world says we will not have this man reign over us. All the saints say we will, don't they? The world says we will not have him rule us. The saints say reign over us and rule over us. They love to have it so. They don't not only believe it, they love it to be so. Reign and rule, kingdom, majesty. And His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It endureth throughout all generation. Moses' God is Roy Baldwin's God. He reigned and ruled, and His providence led, guided, and protected Moses. He's doing the same thing for Roy some 3,500 years later. Same God. He hath dominion. Reigns and rule. Who are we talking about? You see, when we talk about God, we're talking about Christ. We talk about the Son, we're talking about the Father. We talk about the Father, we talk about the Son. Right? Believest thou not that the Father's in the Son in the Father? When you honor the Father, you honor the Son. When you honor the Son, you're honoring the Father. You can't speak of one without speaking to the other, because they're one. And so we make known the kingdom to all who will hear us. Verse 14, the Lord upholdeth. Now listen to all this. You're going to love this. We're going to look at all that the Lord does and who all He does it for. You notice how many times it said all? All that the Lord does and all that He does it for. Verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. Now, is there anybody in here that needs to hear that? Huh? Any fallen sons of Adam? Brother Howard spoke from Psalm 34. Go back there with me. Psalm 34. He says, He upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. David wrote Psalm 34 after the most humiliating, the most shameful time in his life up to that point. Do you know the story behind that psalm? When David acted like a madman, remember? He's down at Gath and he acted like a blooming fool, an idiot. And he was ashamed. Don't you know how ashamed he was of himself? He took a terrible fall, didn't he? David wrote this psalm after that. And it says in verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me. And He delivered me. David was afraid maybe the Lord had cast him off, didn't he, for acting like a booming fool, for taking such a terrible fall. Verse 5, it says, they look unto Him, all those that exalt His name and seek Him, they look unto Him and were lightened, that is, they flowed to Him. Like moths to a light. They flowed to Him, and their faces, here it is, their faces were not ashamed. Ought to be. Ought to be ashamed of ourselves. I would be ashamed to call on Him, shouldn't I? But once you do, and He shows you His face, you'll not be ashamed. You'll not be ashamed. He'll receive you. That woman, caught in that act of adultery, you know, cast down at the feet of our precious Lord, was so ashamed. When it was all over, everybody else was ashamed but her. And she was lightened. The burden was removed. And she was not ashamed. This poor man cried. This poor excuse for a man cried, and the Lord saved him. Look at Psalm 37. Go back there. Psalm 37. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Psalm 37. Oh, I love this. Love this. Verse 17. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse 23 and 4, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Where's there she is. Melanie, how many times do you intend to pick up Abby when she falls? Huh? How many times? Will there ever be a time that she falls that you don't reach and pick her up if she needs you? How much more your Heavenly Father? All that fall, all that know it, and all that call upon Him, He upholds them. He picks them up. Go back to the text. He raiseth them up. Strengthen the weak hands and the feeble knees, He said. All those that be bowed down, the head that is bowed in shame and repentance will be raised up. Raised up. Verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee. All. The whole earth depends on the Lord to provide for them. And so do we. Yes, we do. The jobs we have, the Lord gave them to us. The homes we live in, the Lord gave them to us. Everything is from the Lord. That's right. Ask those who thought they were secure in their jobs and they were gone. Ask some who thought there was no hope or no prospects for anything good who were given wonderful positions. The Lord provides for His own. He provides. David said, I've been young and I now am old. And he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Never. Never. Our God provides for His people. He'll never let them go without. Now here's the thing. Food and raiment. That's what He promises. That's the necessity, isn't it? And you're promised that. You'll always have that. One day I was sitting in my study and looked out behind me at the bird feeders. I have two of them. And they were empty. Both of them were empty. And there were birds coming and they couldn't find anything. They'd fly off. Some more had come. They couldn't find anything. I was busy. I was preparing a message. I've got more important things to do than to tend to those birds. And the more I wrote, the more I thought, I've got to go out there and fill those feeders. So I can tell you this illustration. Are you not worth more than many sparrows? Huh? Your heavenly Father, not a bird falls to the ground without your Father. Father cares for you. Don't worry about it. That's easy to say, isn't it? Well, God said it. He said it. You'll be provided for. Are you not worth more than many sparrows? Verse 15. Thou givest them their meat in due season. And thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. You ever watch these nature programs? Anybody? I've got a new one out on name called Planet Earth. Living Planet or something like that. Oh my, it all just declares, you know, they talk and Dan, they all talk about their mother, you know. They praise their mother. But we praise the Father of this earth, don't we? Not Father Earth, but the Father, our Father, who made it. That's who we pray. But it all is so marvelous. Bountiful. We were watching one day up in Alaska. You remember that? You remember those herds of caribou? I think, how many did they say? 2 million. And here were these tigers and lions and polar bears and all that. Where are they going to get something to eat? 2 million. Why? God provides for everything. Everything. The ocean. You ever looked at those programs? The ocean. There's more life under the water than there is on the top side of the earth. Fish. Because there's big fish need little fish. Oh, He opens His hand and provides for them all, gives them their meat and for every living thing. Verse 17. The Lord and our meat. What is our meat? Let me don't miss this. What is the meat that He provides His children? The thing they need desperately, that they must live by. Man doesn't live by bread alone. But what does man, God's people, what do they live by? Every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. It's going to sustain our life forever. Ever. Long life. Verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways. Holy in all His works. The earth, the world doesn't talk about the righteousness of God, do they? The holiness of God. This is His distinguishing characteristic in it. Huh? This is His essential attribute. The judge of the earth, everything about Him is right. He's right. Everything He says is right. We don't take issue with anything He says. He's righteous, isn't He? Everything He does is holy. Only God's people know something about this. Only God's people love His holiness. It wouldn't have it any other way. God's people can see why God's going to burn it all up and create a new heaven or a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Or nothing defiles it or makes it alive. That's the way we want it. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord, verse 18, is nigh, near unto all them that call upon Him. He upholds all that fall. He raises all that be bowed down. And whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord, He is nigh. He's near. Let me once again bring up one of these mothers. I've forgotten your name. I just said it. Melanie. Is your ear attuned to that little girl's cry? You hear it when Wesley doesn't, that's for sure. Is your eye open to her? Is there ever really a time when you're around her, somewhat around her, that you're not conscious of her and looking upon her? Huh? Well, there is a time, but you're going to go to sleep. But if you're that watchful over her, if your ears are that attentive to her cry, he that keepeth Israel never sleep. He's nigh. He said, am I not a God at hand? Scripture says, an ever-present help. Very near. We don't have to go all the way to Rome, make a pilgrimage to Rome to see the Holy Father. Just call. Just get in your closet. Or on your bed. Or wherever. On the job. He's very near. Very near. Very conscious of. His eyes open. His ears open to their cry. Nigh unto all them that call upon Him in truth. In truth. Our Lord said that, didn't He? John chapter 4, didn't He say that to the woman at the well? True worshipers worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, and in truth. Nigh unto them that call upon Him in truth. What is truth? How do we call upon God in truth? What is truth? Somebody? That's right. Christ. We call upon Him in Christ. My faith in Christ. In truth means this. Truly, that is sincerely, from the heart. In Christ, with an understanding of who Christ is. My faith in Him as your righteousness, as your sin offering, as your lamb. As your substitute. We're still sinners, you know. We still need a lamb, don't we? According to His word of truth, we call upon Him according to His word. He's promised some things. Not all things. But some things. You understand? What it is to call upon Him in truth is to call upon Him for what He's promised to give. That's what it means to call upon Him according to His will. If any man will ask anything according to my will, to the Father's will, He'll grant it. We know we have those things. But no, if we ask for a new car, there's no promise of that. If we ask for this, ask for that, that's not what we're to call upon Him for. Anybody gets those things. People will win the lottery. Doesn't mean they know God. Huh? Oh, no. Things that we call upon are the things we need the greatest. And look at the next verse, verse 19. That He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. The desire. Not desires. The desire. Does anybody know what the desire of God's people is? The one thing needful? You know where that's found? Quoted all the time. Psalm 27. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. One desire. One necessity. One need. Morning, noon, night. Now and forever. One need. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing. One thing. Those that fear Him, He'll grant that desire. He gave it to David. He'll give it to us. He'll hear their cry. He also will hear their cry. All that fear Him, He'll hear their cry and will save them. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes in this psalm, is there? Anywhere. Somebody smile. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybe in this song. No, yea and nay. It's all amen. And sure, He will, He shall, He hath, He doth. He will save them. He will hear their cry. You ought to go out of here with a lot more faith than you came in with. He will save them. Who? All that fear Him. All that call upon Him. He will save them. I don't know if the Lord will save me. If you call upon Him, yeah,
then He'll save you.
Huh? The Lord, verse 20, preserveth all them that love Him. It doesn't say the Lord preserveth all real good people that love Him. It doesn't say that the Lord preserveth all those that, you know, that keep on keeping, that do this, do that. All that love Him. Do you love God? Well, we've been talking about God. Do you love what you've heard? Huh? We've been declaring God. We've been extolling God. We've been honoring God. That's all we've been doing tonight. You love this? The Lord preserveth all them that love Him. All that love Him, He preserveth. You remember old Annie? That old pound dog? She still ain't nothing but a pound dog. You know that? You remember Annie? Barbara, you remember Annie? Still got her. Didn't need her when I got her. Didn't need her when I bought her. But we purchased her. Remember that story, don't you? We got her, saved her from sure death, brought her home for my beloved Abner, for a companion. But we still have her. You know where she is?
Gave her to my only begotten to care for.
Did you hear that? Huh? We still got her. And she's not going anywhere, is she? She's not going anywhere. Gave, you wouldn't cast her out for anything. You don't by no means cast her out. By no means. She's still a dog. She loves us, though. Oh, she loves us. She knows who saved her. And she loves us. And we're preserving her. We're going to keep it. That means you're going to keep it. When you put preserves in a jar, what does that mean? You're going to keep it. Don't intend to cast it out. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him. He keeps them. He will not cast them out. All the wicked, though, will He destroy. Who's wicked? Anybody outside of Christ. Plain and simple. Anybody outside of Christ. Doesn't matter how moral, how sincere, how devout, how pious, how devoted, how sacrificial, how whatever. Muslims are a lot more sincere than the average so-called Christian. They give their lives. But they don't know God. They don't know Christ. They're not in Christ. So they're wicked. All of them. Workers of iniquity. What all is not anything that's not of faith in Christ is sin. Verse 21. He says, so my mouth shall speak. What are you going to preach today, David?
One thing.
What are you going to say? What do you got to talk about, saints? One thing. The praise of the Lord. Jehovah. And let all flesh, they ought to, at least let us in here, bless His holy name. His holy name. Young people, I can't stress it enough. Once again, this is a sign of the times. Don't get used to hearing it. Old people, don't get used to hearing people take God's name in vain. It's getting worse and worse, isn't it? It's a sign of the end. God's giving people over to a reprobate mind. Don't get used to it, Anna. Never. May it make you cringe. The fear of the Lord. God has taught us to fear His name. To reverence His name. His holy name. God's people reverence His name. Let all bless His holy name. Make mention that His name is exalted forever and ever. Amen. Stand with me.